It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Mr. Pryor.
Greetings, Mark.
Good to see you once again, hanging in there, and hopefully not gripped by fear and not living in the past. You want to tell us about that this week. You've kind of talked about this before, but with the COVID situation going on, you're concerned about people living in the past and living in their fears.
Well, and I've said before, if people have listened to the show for a while, they can get the sense that for me, mental health is not that complex. There's lots of diagnoses out there and variations on the theme, but it isn't that complex. And glad to be a biblical counselor because the answers are in Scripture. Now, I've said before, I'm not a pastoral counselor, so when people come, you know, I went to secular psychology school, have the license, et cetera, all that. But come full circle and find that if there was anything worth learning in that traditional training, those answers were things that are in the Scripture, not in so many words, not in, you're not going to find the term depression or bipolar or personality disorders. You're not going to find those in Scriptures, but you'll find the reality.
Why are you downcast, oh my soul?
Yeah.
That's how they might say.
Yeah, and then the cure was hope down the Lord, you know, he's my salvation.
Well, to hope or not. Yeah. That is kind of your theme this week.
Well, just about, I will say this a couple of times probably during the show, but when people come for counseling and they have emotional discomfort, let's say, circumstances can be a little bit out of whack in life too sometimes, but people typically come because they're emotionally disturbed about the circumstances. And so what I see when I talk about living in the future, living in the past, actually living toward the future, or living toward the past, it's obviously we can't go physically back in time or forward, but we live toward the future, we live toward the past. And what I see is that most, if not all, of these emotional discomfort is what I would call people living toward the past or living in the past. So I'm going to break that down today and talk about various scenarios. Some of these you'll recognize as people listening, you'll recognize these. You've experienced them. Maybe you're experiencing them, or you've known people that have. But troubled people are living in the past, living toward the past, not living toward the future. If we have no vision for the future, then we have no alternative but to live in the past. And if we live in the past, then we live without faith and we live without hope. So in this program today, I want to explain why that statement is true. That if we have no vision, if we can't picture ourselves in the future, if we don't have an objective, if we don't have a goal that's worth moving toward, then we have no alternative but to live in the past. And if we live in the past, then we live without faith and we live without hope. So what I mean by living toward the future, let me talk about the future here. The future is where we find hope. And when we talk about hope as Christians, we're not talking about the kind of hope where I hope we get more sunshine, I hope we win the election, our side wins the election. Not that kind of hope, but a fixed hope, a confidence, a hope to hope in. So when Scripture talks about, in the New Testament, when it talks about our hope, it's not talking about, probability or
wishing
a chance or wishing. It's talking about a certainty, and we have this certainty, we have this hope, and so we're hopeful because we have a hope. What is this hope? Well, hope is the object of faith, for one thing. It's what our faith is directed toward. It's an assurance. Hope is an assurance. Hope is a destination. Hope is a reward. What I mean by reward is a hope that is assured is a hope that it's a reward for something that I've done or something that's been done. It's the result of something. It's not, again, not like hoping that we'll get sunshine for a few more days. There's nothing that I have done, nothing that's been done to suggest that that's a probability. It's just a chance with the weather. But on the other hand, if you've trained to run a race, for example, and you have that goal out in front of you, that objective of crossing the finish line and winning the race, it's not just wishful thinking. It's you have a reason to hope for that because you've trained for it. And so this idea of living toward the future or having hope is an assurance, it's a destination, and a kind of a reward. Now, I could describe this more deeply. There's probably not a point in it, but to spend more time just talking about that. But we get the idea that this hope is not just something, wishful thinking, but it's an absolute some degree of certainty. And I leave that up to the individual believer to ask yourself to what degree am I certain of my purpose in life? Am I certain of salvation? Am I certain of the power of God, the power of prayer? To what degree am I certain of those things? That's a legitimate question to ask. Characteristics of hope. Okay, well, I could say the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, but let's talk about a few other things too. A characteristic of hope. I see a person with hope. I see a person who's in a process. That is, it's not passive. Hope, again, the analogy of training to run a race, it's not passive. You're not going to win the race by sitting around. You have to win the race by training. So, a person with a hope, with a destination, with an objective, has a plan. They have a process that they've embraced and that they're working. They're a disciplined person with relationship to that process. They have endurance, not just physical endurance as in training for a race, but in the Christian walk, emotional endurance. They have prudence. They're not risk takers. They don't weigh themselves down taking a chance. We find there's a temptation sometimes to take a chance with what David referred to as certain kinds of sins. What did he say? Presumptuous sins. So These are things that we are pretty sure they're probably not exactly right, but we're probably not going to get much more than a hand slap for this, so we're going to go ahead and do it.
Ask for forgiveness later.
And ask for forgiveness later, right? So confidence, too. After, we talk about process, we talk about discipline, we talk about endurance, we talk about prudence. People with hope also have confidence because this hope is not just wishful thinking. It's an assurance out there. They have joy. Now, some of these things we have to think a little bit about, and then we realize, oh, that's true. You know, if you have confidence about an outcome, you can be at peace. You can have joy and love. I'm talking about love for other people. You know, when you're concerned about your own security, your own safety, and when that's a real problem for you, you're not inclined to look beyond and reach out and try to address other people's needs. You're busy addressing your own need. But a person with a hope, an assured hope, it's like if you could know that you're going to buy a stock and it's always going to go up, it's never going to go down. You know, if you had that kind of assurance that, or people getting ready to retire or job change, if they had that assurance that, oh, there's another better job coming. I've already got the offer. It's, you can just imagine that if you're not immobilized with concern about your own security and safety, there's a greater tendency to look out toward other people and say, well, who can I help? I've got more than enough for myself. I'd like to help someone else. I find that people with hope have mercy because they don't tend to judge others harshly. Why do I judge others harshly? We're going to talk a bit about that when we get in more into living in the past. But, you know, I would judge others harshly out of my own because of my own fear. Kindness, people tend to be more kind. Again, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. All those things would characterize a person that has an assured hope, an assured outcome. And those are the traits that should follow Christians. Paul points this out, as do the other Bible writers, New Testament writers, and the psalmists. So what do we mean then by the past? And so this is the we need to contrast the two of these. This is a good practice too, if we understand what I mean by living in the past. And what it takes away from us and what it means to be living in the past and the signs of living in the past, because we can check these off during the day. You know, if we're having emotional ups and downs, we can view them in this sense of, and ask ourselves questions about, you know, where's my hope? What is my assurance? And what we find, I think, when we're surrounded by trials and tribulations, we find that our strength isn't quite as strong as we thought it was when things were going just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk in a bit about the past and then talk hopefully about some of the ways that we can be assured of always moving toward the future.
Okay. If people need help, any kind of counseling, marital counseling, individual counseling, you're doing a lot of counseling on Skype these days, but are you doing in-person counseling too?
Both, yeah. In-person, yes. Okay. In-person
well,
and on Skype,
get, yeah. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Right. 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week, looking at the subject of hope, to hope or not to hope. That is the question, Daniel, and you're trying to distinguish what that means.
Yes.
You're talking about the past. Living
right.
In the past is not being hopeful.
Yeah, in the first part of the show, we talked about living in the living toward the future. Now, I want to contrast that with this. Now, as I've said in shows before about mental health being pretty simple for me, and it's, you know, our fears, our anxieties, our depressions, most of these diagnoses in the diagnostic manual come from fear and shame. Fear and shame has to do with our mortality, as does shame. Specifically, we are afraid of not having value. We're afraid of not having control. We're afraid of not having resources. If you've heard my other podcasts through BibleBasedCounselor.com, or if you've read the articles, you have some insight into that. Can't go into it right now. But so it's fear and shame-based. Shame is an internalized message of lack of worth. So when we're living in the past, we're living right back into that area, the fear and shame. And so why? Why fear and shame? Well, because we have no assurance of the future. And as I said in the first part of the show, if you don't live toward the future, if you don't have an assurance there, something that you're moving toward that's worth moving toward, then you have no alternative but to live in the past. While I'm right there, let me just take a little bit of a scenic route here and talk about some of these movements. We have these fascist movements, Antifa, BLT, and these people BLT. Seem to have, BLM. So, well, okay, so we have plans for lunch. I'm busted.
Okay.
So a lot of those movements, so you would say, well, don't those people have a hope? They don't have a hope. That's driven by fear, and it has to do with internalized message of lack of worth and the fact that they haven't accomplished things, and so they have a huge shame factor and a huge fear factor, needing to be valued, needing to have control, and needing to have resources. That's not the same thing as realizing that you already have those things in Christ, say, and also that our hope is fixed and assured. These people are struggling and fighting for something that they want, but they don't have an assurance of it. And most specifically, they don't have an assurance of peace and joy. And so they're more like in living in the past, which is just the opposite. So we have these opposite things. People who live in the past despise the future. They fear the future, and they resent people who have hope. They resent. That's why people either accept Christ or not, you know. And if they don't, they resent. I often say that atheists are people who hate God for not existing. It's the fact that if they don't have the hope, then they resent people that do have hope. And some of the characteristics of the living in the past: anxiety, depression, because these are all fear and shame based. Anxiety, depression, despondency, discouragement, anger, fear, shame, and all these related emotions. These are all part of living in the past. Critical and negative. People who live in the past are critical of other people, and they're always negative. Like the little donkey in Winnie the Pooh that always has the cloud over him.
Eeyore.
Mm-hmm. The cloud's always raining on Eeyore. People who live in the past have this sense of it's just life is a downer, and they almost insist on it being a downer for those that they're surrounded by. Living in the past is characterized by selfishness because it's fear and shame based, and therefore it's very materialistic. And there are a lot of addictions. People with addictions are living in the past. People who are materialistic and self-egocentric are living in the past.
Why would an addiction be living in the past?
Because it's not living in the future. You're not living toward a hope. I say if you're not living toward a hope in the future, you have no alternative but to live in the past.
Okay.
People who are living in addictions are also, their world is getting smaller, as we've talked about in world a life perspectives. Their world is getting smaller. It's more about themselves and not other people. If you're living toward the future, you tend to open up and see other people, and it tends to be if I have an assurance for the future— I'm more likely to want to share and open up than if I don't see any hope in the future. Then I want to hold my cards pretty close to myself and take care of my own needs rather than other people's. And so, yeah, we live in the past because we don't have a place to go to that's worth going to. People in the secular world live in the past in shame and fear. Many Christians live as though they don't have any hope. They live as though they don't have a destination worth getting to. Marriages that go on the rocks, people who don't have a vision for their marriage. They don't see how their marriage folds into the hope of eternal life. So they kind of bifurcate those two. And first thing, you know, they're not taking care of their marriage, and they have no reason to take care of their marriage. Marriages fall apart. The people get distracted. They become materialistic. They wind up compromising and getting weighted down by things. When I don't have a hope before me, we've talked in a previous show about laying aside weights and running the race that's set before me. If I don't see what race is set before me, if I don't have that hope, if it's not clear to me, then there's a tendency to get weighted down in materialism and turned in on myself and self-interested. To live in the future and enjoy a more abundant life, we need to get our hopes settled, settle in on that, settle in on our focus. Hebrews 12 comes to mind. Hebrews 12, 2, I think it is. Fixing setting our eyes on Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And it says,
Who for the joy
that was set before him endured the cross. So I would be honest and say, I don't think as a mere mortal that I can appreciate fully the joy that was set before Christ. Mm. He had a relationship with the Father that we aspire to, but I don't think we fully understand it. And so I just have to fix my gaze on Christ and trust in him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so my hope is in him. And so we have to have a goal. And in a previous show, in an article, if you go to ChristianCounselorsForum.com, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and in the archives, you'll find an article talks about setting a course for change, and it goes through basically five points that we need to consider in order to make change in our lives. I'm not going to put that, refer to the rest of this in those terms. These are put in different terms, but they follow that same pattern. First of all, you know, we have to, what's our goal? What's our vision? What's our purpose? If I want to move toward the future, if I want to be a person who lives toward hope and identifies this hope, what is it? What's the goal? What's the vision? What's the purpose? Where would I find that out? I'd find that out in Scripture. I'd find that out in prayer. I would find that if I want to know more about Christ, I spend more time with Christ in Scripture, in prayer, in meditation, in study, in fellowship. I would want this one. I need this to be the center of my life, not myself. I need to move the center of my life over to where it has to do with those things. Then I learn about the goal. God's purpose, the vision for my life, the purpose. Now, I need to have this in my mind. Do I really want that is the next question I would ask myself. If I see that, do I really want it? In marriage, I ask people, what do you think is the purpose of marriage? So we talk about the purpose of marriage. This is the purpose of marriage. Do you want that? Do you want to lay yourself aside, your life aside? Do you want to surrender and submit to that? Do you actually want that? It's a way of asking, what is the cost to you if you don't pursue that, or if you do pursue it? Consider the cost. Do you really want it? The fourth one would be, what would be your plan or your path in getting to that? A lot of times in counseling and married couples, we'll try to start, get a foothold in moving forward. So we've got a history of not liking one another and a history of not getting along. Well, we're going to try to change that. So we need to get a foothold. So we need to start with some small thing that we're going to do, moving toward that hope, that assurance that that if we do these things, it will work out well. Maybe not in the way I imagined it, because probably the way I imagined it is a big part of the problem. But it'll work out well according to his plan. We need to have a path then. So this is the path. We want to do these things. We're going to start here. These are the things that we're going to do in order to move toward that. And then finally, what is the process? What will we do daily to reach that hope? So we have a general path. We're going to be kind to one another. We're going to start daily devotion, something like that. This will be the process that we're in. This is the what we'll do to reach our hope, whether it be in relationships or toward challenges in life. So I just wanted to sum it up again, by reading this the statement that I read at the beginning. You know, if we don't have a vision, a hope in the future, then we have no alternative but to live in the past. And if we live in the past, then we live without faith and we live without hope. And I think that's something that a lot of Christians, we don't realize that if we're living in the past, if we have anxiety, if we have the depression, if we have addictions, if we have, if we are materialistic, if we are becoming distant in our relationships, if we are withdrawing from the body of Christ and withdrawing from various challenges in life, if we don't have joy, if our lives don't demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, we're actually living without faith. Faith and hope travel together, so we're actually living without faith, and as well as living without hope. So these are things that we want to turn around: getting away from the depression, getting away from the anxiety, getting away from the critical spirit, getting away from the anger. We need to refocus. We need to have a hope. We need to be living toward the future instead of living toward the past.
Okay, we hope that was helpful for you listening today. If you need help of any kind of counseling, individual counseling, marital counseling, Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com. I have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And I would also say that if you want to look at some of these articles, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, I have articles there that I've written for quite a number of years on various topics. And also at the BibleBasedCounselor.com, you find these like 6 years of podcasts, and there are some pretty good topics in there too.
Okay, lots of information, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.